My name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon. So today is one of those kind of rare times. There's only a few times in the Bible where we hear Jesus get really upset. He's coming. He's in Jerusalem. It's almost time for the Passover, and people are streaming to Jerusalem from all over the countryside to be together, to be present to the Passover, to give thanks for their lives. The place is bustling. And in the temple, only certain people can go certain places. One of the places that Gentiles could go during Passover and when they were at the temple was an outside court. And so people, Gentiles, even though they might not have understood everything that everybody was doing, wanted to be in that place. It was holy. You could feel it. It was just full of God's presence. So several things upset Jesus. One is they've taken that court where only the Gentiles can go, and they've made it a marketplace. They have stuff going on all over the place. There's animals, birds, there's all sorts of creatures. And what you have to do is you would take your money and you would change it for temple money, because that's what you had to have to buy what you decided to sacrifice. And you would buy it there because you had to bring an animal that was unblemished. So it was very pure and clean. And if you were traveling from far, far away, it wasn't going to be very easy to get there with an unblemished animal. So all that on the surface looks good, but there was so much concentration on the marketplace that the people were really missing the point. And so Jesus just gets angry. And that's okay. Sometimes part of loving God and loving our neighbor is to get upset if we see something that is really far off the message of God and the love of Jesus and what it means to love God and love one another. So Jesus just throws this fit, turns them all out, sends them all out so that people can get closer to a holy place. And so they're confused. And so they ask Jesus, what is this about? And Jesus says, this temple will come down and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Okay, you have to admit, a building that took decades to be built and was still being built, Jesus has just said he was going to rebuild in 3 days. And Jesus said, I will build it in 3 days, meaning his body. So let's think about this. What do you think about when you come to church? I pray that you find a place to be welcome. I pray that as you come in the door and an usher greets you, you immediately know that there's a place for you. I pray, you're okay, Johnny. I pray, but I want you to listen because this is a good story. We're gonna, you know what? We're gonna talk about snow cones in a minute. You don't like snow cones. We'll have to talk about that later. Anyway, so you come to a holy place. You want to encounter God. So I want you to look around you and think of all the symbols in this sanctuary that tell the story of God. Even people in the stained glass windows, that some are personal people, if you look up behind the altar, some are obviously people you know, Mary, Jesus, the saints, the angels, the evangelist, and you know that you're surrounded in a place that you hopefully can really feel God's love. I'll tell you what, I get angry sometimes when I hear people's stories about how they didn't feel welcome or they were not even allowed to feel welcome in a place of worship. I believe God calls us here so that we can be forgiven, we can sing together, we can break open scripture together like we're doing right now, we can break bread together, we can feast on the body and blood of Jesus, and then we can go out full, ready to think of ourselves as a temple where God dwells, so that the way you treat people, the things you say, the decisions you make, come from that place of a sanctuary. Some of the things we do in the Episcopal Church, not everybody makes the same motions at the same time. So I'm going to do a little Episcopal 101, because I feel sometimes we come to church and I hear somebody later go, sometimes I saw somebody doing this, I wasn't doing that, should I do that? Only if it's important to you. Sometimes people like nod or kind of slightly bow when they go in their pew. If that helps you get ready to worship together, then do it. Something that's important for me to do, and not a lot of people grew up doing it, is when you respond to the gospel at the beginning, I put a cross over my head, cross over my lips, and a cross over my heart. And that means that I pray that what I'm getting ready to hear resides in my mind so that I can store it and dissect it and study it and then share it. I want to speak it with my lips. I want the things that I say to be gospel-like, to be holy, to be kind, to be loving. And then I want it to live in my heart so that I am reminded every time my heart beats, every time I breathe, that we are created in the image of God and we're temples where God resides in our heart. Now, one of the things I do, which has really occurred in about the last 25 years in the Episcopal Church, is I invite everybody to the altar. Now, you could go in 10 churches, 5 will invite everybody to the altar, 5 will invite those that are baptized. Both are holy and okay. But I believe, and I have seen personally, that when people come together to the table to receive the body of Christ and to either dip into the chalice or take a sip of the chalice, there's something so holy in that moment. You feel so close and so full of God's love and of Jesus's life and beauty that you all of a sudden encounter God in a different way. I'm gonna tell one story. There was a woman that came to the church I served before here, and I thought I knew her, and she looked familiar, and I couldn't remember her, and she had gone to a graveside at the veterans at the National Cemetery that I had done for her step grandfather, who was a 5-star general. And so it was about a year later, and she came up to me and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "To be honest, I remember you, but I could not tell you where or what your name is." And she said, "Well, there's no reason you should have been. I was at that service that you did for my grandfather." And I thought, if your church is as friendly as you are, I'm willing to give it a shot. I've been rejected from 5 churches. I was like, "You're safe here." And I would say that right here in front of you all, because you're safe. You are safe here. And so when I went to give communion to a quadriplegic at St. David's in the very back, I passed her and realized she hadn't come to the table. And I said, "Do you want communion?" And she started bawling and she said, "I'm not baptized." And I said, "Do you want communion?" And she took communion and she came up that day and said, "For the first time in my life, I feel worthy. Worthy of receiving God." So when I hear stories like that, I have to admit, I get a little bit like Jesus. I get really like, you've got to, no. Because God wants us to welcome all, wherever we're coming from, whatever questions we have, whatever doubts we have, God calls us together to do exactly what we're doing right now. And then I don't know about you, but after I do this with you, I can go out as a much better human being, full of love, fed by Jesus, forgiven by God, side by side, each and every one of you. I pray that as you leave this place today, when you greet people, smile. When you meet someone you don't know, be gentle. That is what the sanctuary, not only here, but the sanctuary of our hearts are called to be. May we carry that out. I want to close with a blessing that an organist that was a good friend of mine years ago gave me. And I think it's not identified, but I think it's an old Jewish blessing. And when you hear it, it's about this place, this church, but I also pray that it's about our hearts. May the door of this place be wide enough to receive all who hunger for love, all who are lonely for friendship. May it welcome all who have cares to unburden, thanks to express, hopes to nurture. May the door of this place be narrow enough to shut out pettiness and pride, envy and enmity. May its threshold be no stumbling block to young or straying feet. May it be too high to admit complacency, selfishness, and harshness. May this place be for all who enter, the doorway to a richer and more meaningful life. Amen. Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow.
The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you forever. Amen.